Second hour here on this Wednesday. Hope everybody's having a good day to this point. Beautiful day here in Nashville. Darren McFarland, Willie Donig, Chase McCabe with you. Three more hours to go. Let's head up to Buffalo. It's the next opponent for the Titans. Monday Night Football at Nissan Stadium. It is going to be a good one. Hopefully, Titans and Bills. Sal Capaccio is on the line with us. Sal, I know you do the sidelines for the Bills, also a part of WGR 550's coverage of Buffalo as well. Thanks for joining us. Appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem, guys. Thanks for having me.
Well, they look like juggernauts. There's no doubt about it. This is going to be interesting to see how this plays out. We all knew Buffalo was going to be good, but, man, through 5 weeks of the season, is this even better than what you thought the Bills would be going into the season to this point?
I don't know if I'd say that. I mean, I think here in Buffalo, we expected a team that would contend for the AFC Championship again, right? I mean, they got to the AFC Championship game last year. They have everybody back. I mean, when have you ever seen a coaching staff where every single coach on staff is the exact same from last year? They did not have any coaches come in from another organization. That continuity has been incredible. Pretty much everybody on offense, everybody on defense, it's been very few parts changed. And I think that, with Josh Allen taking that step he did last year and the runner-up to league MVP, I think they're kind of right where people really believe they would be at this point. I don't know if people believe they'd beat Kansas City the way they did, but I think 4-1 right now is right around the record people thought they'd have.
Yeah, well, I think they'd probably like to have that Pittsburgh game back, but crazy things usually happen in week one. I am kicking myself as someone who plays fantasy football. We all do on this show. That I identify Dawson Knox. I know all about Dawson Knox. I should have picked him up when I did. And I was like, let me wait another week. I'm not desperate for that position. And boy, am I kicking myself because I should have picked up Dawson Knox. And it's way too late now. He's long gone in our league. Is this what Dawson Knox is going to be the rest of the season? He has had quite the start to the year.
You know, I don't know if I – by the way, he's a local guy, right?
Nashville. Yes, he is. I know. Like I said, I've got no one to blame but me. No one to blame but me.
He is the poster child for what's been going on in this organization for really since 2017 when Sean McDermott and Brandon Bean took over. And that is – guys, I've been following this team since the Super Bowl years back in the 90s. And I will tell you right now, the player development in this organization is as good as it's ever been. I mean, they take guys and – they really truly develop and become, as Sean McDermott would say, the best versions of themselves over 2, 3, 4 years. And that's where Dawson Knox is in his third year. And I think what's happened here is, though, you know, last year, 127 targets, I think it was, for Stephon Diggs. He was, or maybe that's his catches. I mean, his targets were incredible. But every game, you know, he was the guy. And the Bills obviously have Cole Beasley, and they spread the ball around. And what teams have done is they've kind of concentrate a little bit on Diggs, a little bit on Beasley, and that's opened up other guys being able to emerge. And the Bills, what they've basically, the response, the way teams have played them is saying, okay, we're going to put a tight end in the field more, and now we're going to have an extra threat and an extra weapon for Josh Allen to throw the ball to. And I think they've always planned on that for Dawson Knox. It just never really came about because he's had a lot of consistency issues dropping the football and catching the football. But look, he's a converted quarterback from college. He didn't start playing tight end until his sophomore, I think it was, year in college. And then they had DK Metcalf and A.J. Brown and all those guys at Ole Miss. So he didn't really have a lot of reps. And now I think you're seeing the fruits of that development and all of those reps coming into play.
I've said for years, Sal, that Sean McDermott is maybe the most underrated coach in the league. And if I'm saying that in Nashville, have you guys felt that way in your market? Or do you feel like he does get the credit that he deserves?
I think he's still underappreciated here by too many Bills fans. I mean, the majority of people really know what they have here. Look, I would say Brandon Bean is very, very appreciated, like for his front office staff and contractually. You know, one thing, and I'll get to Sean in a second, but I'll tell you, you know, you look around this roster, it's not going to end anytime soon for this Bills team. Everybody that you see that's contributing, they're all young and they're all locked up. I mean, they just signed Taron Johnson to an extension. There's very few guys who are going to be unrestricted free agents at the end of this year. Like, this is a team that's so well put together, and now they're all under contract as well. So you're going to see that. And I think Brandon Bean gets a lot of credit for that. When it comes to Sean, yes, he absolutely gets a lot of credit. I would say for evolving, especially the way he's kind of evolved as a game manager, the way he's evolved in attacking teams and being able to and being willing to be in the new age NFL and throwing the ball all over the field. But I think where he's underappreciated is too many fans, I think, give more credit to Brian Daboll than they do Sean McDermott in that regard. More credit to, you know, Josh Allen, or than they do to Sean McDermott. But look, it's all under the watchful eye in the direction of Sean McDermott. He runs this organization. He is a great leader. And I've said the biggest thing that's impressed me, and I've covered this team professionally as my fourth coaching staff I've been through. Look, the consistency he has on a week-to-week basis, whether this team wins or loses or who's injured, who's not, they never get too high, they never get too low. They're always super prepared, and they're always going to give you the same game.
I don't know. I know Josh Allen is mobile, and he can run, and he uses his legs, and he's very effective. I guess what I'm a little bit surprised, and probably because we're spoiled, and we've been covering this team since they've been in Nashville too, and we've seen a lot of good running teams for the Titans. They have been a more run-first team since they've been in this market, and they've got the best running back in the league right now. But I don't particularly think Buffalo has ran the football. I mean, Devin Singletary's okay. Zach Moss is okay. I mean, Zach Moss can get in the end zone. But overall, they're not one of the top running teams in the league. How have they been able to get away with that, in your opinion? Because everybody knows that they're going to be – they're thinking pass, but obviously they're off. Nobody can slow down this offense.
Well, I think the way they get away with it, as you say, is the fact that that's not how you win in the NFL these days. You win with throwing the football around. Look at the teams that win the Super Bowls, that go to the Super Bowls. Patrick Mahomes, their teams running the ball aren't that great. It's Patrick Mahomes. Tom Brady last year, yeah, they ran the ball okay, but they have Tom Brady. This is what it takes to win in the NFL. I think the Bills, their philosophy is, we have Josh Allen, and he's great at throwing the football. And sure, we need to be effective running the ball. We don't have to be great at it, but we have to be effective at it. Brandon Bean's philosophy, and going back to him, is look at their roster and how it's structured. The Bills absolutely refuse to pay big money for a running back. They refuse to put a premium on draft picks on running backs because it's a waste. You look around the league, and no disrespect to Tennessee. I think Derrick Henry's amazing, and he's going to break, and he's going to shatter NFL records. But I think you want to run the football in the NFL, and that's how you want to win. There's a ceiling on that. And I think that's been proven with Tennessee. It's been proven with Baltimore. It's been proven with Cleveland. The teams that are winning football games and playing 21st century football in 2021, I should say, are the teams that are saying, we're going to throw the ball and put the ball in the hands of our quarterback and let him do what he needs to do. And, you know, again, financially, I think you have to be careful of if you get beholden to these running backs and you have to pay them big money, then you're really sacrificing around the roster. The Bills refuse to do that. They pay Josh Allen. They pay their receivers. They pay their defense. And they say, we'll have good running backs. They don't have to be great, and we're going to get by.
We're talking to Sal Capaccio, the Bills beat writer and sideline reporter for them. And, you know, just on Josh Allen real quick, I mean, we've seen what he's done over the course of the past 2 years. I know for me, that was one of those, well, this is kind of a surprise. I didn't think he, you know, would turn into what he has turned into. But you've seen him. When you first saw him in his rookie year and saw some things at practice and all of that, was it not necessarily in your mind that he'd become an MVP-type contender, but is this not that much of a surprise to you?
You know, I always felt that he had the ability to make certain plays that other quarterbacks simply can't make, and you always see that. It was the consistency and the play-to-play, down-to-down, decision-making, you know, not trying to do too much type of stuff that you had to shake out of him. Now, look, I do think that you still have to have some of that at Josh Allen. That's why you drafted him. The Bills knew perfectly well they weren't drafting Alex Smith, and he's going to just be a game manager and check it down, right? They were moving on from Tyrod Taylor, who was kind of similar like that. They took a big swing, and they said, basically what they wanted was who he is, which is Brett Favre. Hey, he's going to make some incredible plays. There's also going to be times where you say, oh, my God, Josh, I can't believe you did that, in a negative way. But you can't take that away from Josh Allen, because if you do, you're kind of neutering him, right? I mean, you're kind of making him a quarterback you don't want him to be, because you need to have those wild plays that are incredible. And what's really happened here with Josh Allen is his decision-making has improved so much that now you have so many more few of those other negative what-are-you-doing-Josh plays and still so many of the, oh, my God, I can't believe you did that Josh plays. So very polarizing quarterback when he came out of college. There's no doubt about it. You know, people either really loved him or really hated him. Most people really hated him, and they still refused to believe he was good when he was good. But now you're seeing the more consistent day-to-day, week-to-week operation of a quarterback that's really worked his tail off to get there. But an organization, too, and go back to player development, I mean, Josh Allen, he has been really kind of the guy that when you say, how do you develop a quarterback in 2021, and this is what the Bills have done, and they've surrounded him exactly in the right spot with the right people.
Going into the draft, as people were making their predictions, especially early on, Greg Rousseau was linked to the Titans. The Bills end up with him. And he's had a pretty good start to his rookie year, just named Defensive Player of the Week, has 3 sacks on the season. Clearly, it's worked out in that defense with him, but have you been surprised that it's worked out as quickly as it has?
Absolutely. I'll count myself among the people who said, many of us said, you know what, looks like he has some good traits, could be a good player in this league, probably going to take a couple of years, especially you think he's getting inserted into a championship-caliber roster, right? A Bills team that went to they were in the Final Four last year. Like, how many snaps are you going to get for a guy like this? You know, you're going to have to develop it. You have Jerry Hughes and Mario Addison. They had A.J. Epinesa, who had a lost rookie year. He's come back in his second year. Oh, my gosh. The first time I'll tell you guys, the first time I saw him on a field was during OTAs and minicamp, and it looked like, you know when you're, like, watching kids in 7th and 8th grade, but there's one kid, you're like, there's no way. Check that kid's birth certificate, right?
Oh, yes. I mean,
yeah, that's what he looked like. He was just towering over people in his length, and he had these traits that were just, you know, the measurements and things like that. You just can't coach, obviously. And then once the pads came on, it translated. And I'm just as surprised as anybody that he's already making the kind of impact that he's making. And then they add in Boogie Basham, their second-round pick, and A.J. Epinesa has really taken a step from that year last year where, because of COVID and didn't have all the OTAs and the mini camps. Kind of had like a redshirt year. He played a little bit, but he's really stepped up. And it's really been the difference in this team is their defensive line play. And it all starts, I think, with the addition of Greg Rousseau and how well he's playing.
Why do you think it's worked so well with Leslie Frazier as the defensive coordinator? I mean, he's been around the game for a long time, obviously a former head coach. But this seems to really have worked with this defense and working with Sean McDermott.
Yeah, you know, there's a few of us here in the media who we have such a reverence for Leslie Frazier. I had a friend of mine in the media here, Matt Perino, who writes for Syracuse.com and covers the team, who said, because I want to give him credit, not me, he said, Sal, I'm going to make a sign that says, #HireLeslieFrazier, and give it to opposing coaches, because that's how good he is and how much he deserves another shot. Look, I think the answer, though, to your question is he's just such a great teacher. He's such a great communicator. You know, Leslie Frazier, people might not be old enough to remember who are listening, he was part of the 85 Bears defense. He was part of that group in the 80s in the Bears. He led the Bears interceptions that year, I believe, that incredible team they had. He knows football. He was a talented football player. But more than anything, he's a student of the game. He studies, and he communicates super well with all of his players. He has such respect from all his players. You know, there's a few ways to go about coaching, right? You can yell and you can scream and do all that kind of stuff. That's not the Bills' way. That's not Sean McDermott's way. He hires teachers. He hires good communicators. And Leslie Frazier has been with him from the beginning. And they're there as a group. And let's remember, Sean's a defensive guy, right? You put those two heads together, and that's why I think it works so well.
Sal Capaccio is with us, Bills beat writer, radio sideline man, and he'll be coming to town as Bills take on the Titans on Monday night. All right, so Sal, you got me going a little bit with the throwback of Leslie Frazier with the great Bears team. So let's make the comparison. I know this Bills team, there's been so dominant the last 4 weeks. What is it time to start comparing? This has got to be the best Bills team since the great years of, you know, the 4 straight AFC title games, true?
It's the best roster since then. They were good in, I don't want to say it in Nashville, they were good in 99 on home run throwback, right? I mean, really
they were. I can remember vividly Steve Tasker, the last weekend of the regular season, the Titans were resting some guys and they just annihilated Pittsburgh, but they had the bracket and Steve Tasker circled the bracket, Bills versus Titans. He goes, you know what? The winner of this game is going to the Super Bowl. He called it before it happened, and we all know you know, what history happened, the home run throwback and all that stuff. But those were two really good teams.
That's right. And I would say that's the best roster they've had since the Super Bowl years until now. This one is probably better than that, and it is the best roster since the Super Bowl years. And look, those Super Bowl teams had Hall of Famers. Maybe someday some these guys, who knows if Josh Allen, where his career takes him and things, but it certainly is. Now, I think that we need to stop short of comparing them to the greatest of all time type of teams and defenses and things like that. There is no Bruce Smith on this team right now, right? Bruce Smith is the greatest defensive end, arguably, in history, maybe Reggie White, whatever, but he has the most sacks in NFL history. There's not that guy. Matt Milano has been playing out of his mind. He's hurt. We don't know if he's going to play this week. He missed last week against the Chiefs. They still won. But, you know, I mean, the linebackers together with him and Tremaine Edmonds are great, but I mean, do you see a Cornelius Bennett? I'm not sure. I think that's the difference, though, between this team. The difference is, let's get back to Leslie Frazier and Sean McDermott. This is truly a team defense. Like, the Bills in the 90s were loaded with Hall of Fame talent around. This team doesn't necessarily have that. I would tell you that Micah Hyde and Jordan Poyer, you're probably not putting either in the top 5 safeties in the league individually. Together, they might be the best tandem of safeties in the league, though. It really is a team defense and how they operate all together at once. I mean, Not one defensive lineman on this team has played more than 55% of the snaps. Yet look at what the defensive line is doing. Because yeah, that's right, because they rotate everybody in, even including Greg Rousseau, Ed Oliver, Jerry Hughes. Everyone's between 35 and 55%, which is incredible. And that's the difference. So I would stop short of putting them amongst those teams because they don't have that necessarily individual talent. Tre'Davious White is an all-pro, we know that. But they do have such a great team together, and they've been together for a while, by the way, under Sean, under Leslie. They work so well together. And I will say, though, in today's NFL, to be allowing 12 points a game through 5 weeks the way scoring is in the NFL is truly remarkable. I mean, because this isn't 1985 anymore, right, where it's three yards in a cloud of dust still, basically. I mean, this is – they're holding teams. I don't care if it's Houston, Washington, Miami, or Kansas City now, as we see – you know, what they're doing on defense against these types of offenses is truly remarkable at this point.
It'll be interesting to see if the Titans can run against these guys and do their thing with Derrick Henry. So, Sal, one more. You got me thinking about the wild card game. Should the Bills have started Doug Flutie? What would have happened if they had done that?
You know, over the years, I always said no, and I think that if I look back now, I say probably should have. I mean, Doug earned it, right? Doug earned it. That call basically came from up top. There's a lot of people who believe, and I don't have this confirmed, but who've said that Ralph Wilson, the owner at the time, you know, was the one who said he wasn't a big fan of Flutie for whatever reason, wanted Rob Johnson to start. I think, and I always say, but Rob Johnson walked off the field with the lead. He walked off the field with the lead, right? And then they had the kickoff.
Yeah.
And my biggest issue, and I coached high school football in Florida for a decade. I was at the time coaching down there when this was all going on. And my biggest issue after what happened was just stay in your damn lanes, guys. Right? I mean, like, that's what it was. It wasn't quarterback. It wasn't anything else. It was stay in your lanes on special teams. But that was truly a watershed moment in this organization, not in a good way, just like with the same franchise. I know not in Nashville, the comeback, the greatest comeback in NFL history.
Oh, yeah.
Same two teams, same two franchises, right? I mean, those are the kinds of things. These two teams are tied together in so many ways because of all of those things that have happened between them, and they, of course they go back to the AFL years as well.
What do you think, if anything, this is all just more for us, you know, the fun storylines, but last year, the craziness of the outbreak that the Titans had, the shuffle of the schedule, they hadn't practiced at all. I think everybody thought they'd get thumped by the Bills, and it was anything but. It was the opposite. And I know the Bills, there was some, I think some blowback from the league. Hey, we got to switch our schedule around. This is, you know, at the time, it was kind of a new thing. It happened to some other teams afterwards. But any fallout from that game? What's your recollection of that game? Because that was kind of a sore spot for the Bills there.
Yeah, I actually just did a little bit of work on this morning looking back. Do you know? I don't know if you know, but the game was actually 1 year ago today. They played exactly 1 year ago today.
Wow. Oh, wow. I would not have guessed that.
And I went back and looked. The Bills were actually missing six starters on defense as well because they had COVID and they had injuries. Cam Lewis started instead of Taron Johnson. Dean Marlowe started at safety. Matt Milano was out, but they had their own situation. Now look, they got their butts handed to them. I mean, Tennessee played great that night, and I think Tennessee was mad. I think that they came in with a point to prove, and I think they did prove that you don't have to have practice on the field all the time to make it work. Right? I give the Titans a lot of credit for how they played in that football game, but I'll also tell you the Bills were completely undermanned in that game. And you know, the Bills, the way it worked for them that week was, and the Titans had their own deal, of course, and they were in flux with the situation. The way it worked for the Bills was they were supposed to play the Titans at a 1 o'clock on Sunday and then turn around and play Kansas City on a Thursday night. Well, that couldn't happen. They had to switch it up because of the COVID outbreak, because of Tennessee and everything. So they moved the game to Tuesday night, and they moved the following game against the Chiefs to a Monday evening. And I think, I really believe, Bills players were kind of not dialed in. They were mad. They were upset. And I think they were focusing more on how this schedule and being able to play the Chiefs at home on a Thursday night didn't work out, the fans and all that. So I think I look back at that game and say, boy, both teams had a lot going on mentally and even physically on the field, obviously.
All right, finish with this. Of course, they couldn't have fans last year, and of course all the other thing would have kept any fans from trying to come down anyway. But we know how great the Bills fans are. We want to be prepared here in Nashville. How much of an invasion is there going to be here?
And where can I find a table?
Two years ago, I actually looked this up. 2 years ago, I remember writing, and it's on my Twitter feed from 2 years ago, I wrote that in my 6 years at the time of being the sideline reporter and going to every game, I'd never, ever, ever seen that many Bills fans in one away city. It was truly incredible. I mean, all of Broadway was red, white, and blue, mostly Josh Allen jerseys. There's another little district, I forget, you guys will tell me down where there's another, there's a three-story bar that was wrapped around. I mean, I have never, ever seen that many people at a game. And this is, and it's going to happen again because the Bills don't have a like really great away schedule. They do go to Tampa and New Orleans, but New Orleans on Thanksgiving, a lot of people can't do that this year. So I think Tennessee is, and Nashville's a great city, right? People love going there. It's a destination city. My co-host, I just got off the air here, my co-host on the normal 10 to 12 show here in Buffalo, he's in Nashville already because he's never been there and he wanted to go. He's down there with his buddy. Like, he's on vacation. Right? I mean, so Joe, if you're listening, man, shout out. I hope you're having fun over here.
That's awesome. Right?
But I'm telling you guys, it's going to be an invasion. Now, I do know it's a Monday night. People have to take off Monday. They have to take off Tuesday. Maybe that pulls back the luster a little bit. But it's going to be crazy, and yeah, please watch out for flying tables, flying debris, and people all over the place.
Sal, if he left this early, there's no way he's listening to the show. He's having a good old time.
I agree with you, man. I agree with you. And I know I went down to one of the bars downtown. There was a Buffalo band that was playing, and you know, they pulled me up on stage to kind of rally everybody because I'm, you know, the Bills sideline reporter. Like, it was like being in Buffalo. It was unbelievable. So, but I'll tell you, it's a fun time. And, you know, you go to all these away cities, and I think generally, you know, never had any problems with Titans fans necessarily and stuff like that. I'm sure some of those things kind of happen, but we can all coexist and have fun and just say, hey, football's back, let's enjoy it. But I will tell you, when the Titans have the ball on Monday night, it will be loud in the stadium because Bills fans will be loud.
I don't doubt it. We've talked about this for years. Because it's such a great city to zip in, spend the weekends about, there has been issues with a lot of opposing teams' fans, and we know that the Bills are going to bring it. No question about it.
Hey, by the way, I'll throw this out too. The Bills' owners, Kim and Terry Pegula, they're in a few different businesses. They also own a record label.
They do.
That's based in Nashville. It's Black River Entertainment, I believe it's called. So a few years ago, they had like a big party there and everything. So there's a big tie-in, too, to the ownership of the Bills to that city.
Yep, they're on Music Row, for sure. No doubt about it. Hey, Sal, thanks for doing this. Really appreciate it. Enjoy your time here, and appreciate all the info, and we'll talk down the road.
Can't wait to get down there, guys. Thanks a lot for having me.
Great stuff.
Really good stuff. Really, really good
stuff. We got to find this guy. Yeah. We got to find this guy that's somewhere downtown right now. We got to see if he'll come on the show between now and then, just get the update of the week in Nashville leading up to Monday night. But you got an extra day with it being Monday night.
That's good. That's good. Sal Capaccio joining us, so that was good. It was really good.
It was awesome.
Speaking of updates, there have been some updates to the Titans roster.
Yes.
That we'll discuss on the other side. That, could have some significance. And actually, one of those things is we didn't get a chance to talk about it yet, happened after our show yesterday. And we'll talk about that as well. But right now, I'm going to talk about my friends over at Cool Springs MD. They're my friends because I've been going there for years, and they've been helping me become healthier and happier. They've helped improve my quality of life for years, and I really appreciate it. In fact, Michelle has been taking great care of me over there for years. I love dealing with Michelle, but they're experienced staff. They've got a huge staff over there that can help you in a variety of ways. And Dr. Jeffrey Lodge is the board-certified physician over there. His wife, Daphne, is the registered nurse. And whether it's weight loss management, which is important, it's important to them and should be important to you, right? At some point in our adult life, or many times in our adult life, we tack on some unwanted pounds that we would love to get rid of. Well, they've got programs and products and people that can get you back on track and headed in the right direction. Rejuvenation, your appearance is important. It's important to me, and it gets tougher as we age. And their staff would love to sit down with you and talk about PRP, hair removal, Botox, and finally, hormone therapy. Your levels dip as you age. Some dip to all-time lows the older you get, and it can affect you in a lot of areas. It can affect your mood. It can affect your drive, your energy. It can just affect you feeling off. You don't feel like yourself. Well, their staff can discuss BHRT, testosterone, estrogen. They do it all, and they do it all under one roof there in Cool Springs at 1642 Westgate Circle. If you need to learn everything about them, go to their website, coolspringsmd.com, or you can always pick up the phone and dial this number to schedule an appointment or a consultation, 615-283-7291. That's 283-7291.